Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. In studio, as usual, Paul, how are you doing today?
I'm just eating up the pre-show conversations about cars and exotics and people who buy them for $300,000 and sell them for $4 million. I just love all this.
Well, speaking of that, I have a very special guest today and an old-time friend for, we'll talk about that for a minute too, but Troy Zuccolato. Troy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course, of course. So, Troy is a retired professional bodybuilder who has gone into business, and we're going to talk about his little bit about his bodybuilding career, his business career. And we've talked about this once, but we first met as like about 30 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were at the pretty much the prime of your.
I was probably in the middle of my career during that time. I was freaking huge, of course. It's not like I am today, but it's been at least 30 years, I'd say.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember this, but actually how we first met, other than the Superflex gym became World's Gym.
Yeah, it became World's, correct.
And then we both, in slightly different spaces, if you will, but we did an ad together for Max Muscle Magazine.
I remember that.
You were like the bodybuilder.
Yeah, you were the more model guy. Fitness model, exactly. Yeah.
That was quite a long ago. Look where we are today. Yeah. But I think the one thing that's kind of interesting is, as I was thinking about and preparing, like for myself, I kind of grew up a surfer turned, you know, fitness, bodybuilding, both passions don't usually lend themselves to someone who's ambitious that does anything with their life.
You think of
the average surfer and the average bodybuilder.
Exactly.
And one of the things I've always admired about you, from being a professional bodybuilder, is if I think of maybe the top five successful bodybuilders or ex-bodybuilders, you've got to be up there.
Yeah, really, most of them haven't done much more than that their whole career. And it's strange to me because it takes such discipline to get to that level, just not training alone. It's diet, nutrition, knowing how to do everything. So the discipline to get there, you would certainly think that they could take that into the business world as well, but very few do.
Yeah. And we talked once too, this was years ago, and this may not have been your first thing, but you said you took one of your first checks that you ever got from winning a contest, and you bought a piece of property, and I think that's your...
I listened to my brother. I just, you know, of course, the first thing I wanted to do, because I was a car freak, is go buy a bunch of different cars, but he said, you know, we invest your money in real estate, and we'll just keep making more money from it, and that's what I did. It was really because of him that he taught me, you know, invest your money and let your money work for you. Don't go buy cars because you're never going to make money. Yeah, they're great to have, but do that once you're already established. Then you get all your little toys.
Yeah. Because you must have been, let's see, you're early 20s by the
early
time you're getting big checks, right?
I signed my first contract when I won Mr. California. I signed a contract with Weider. Weider's always been, you know, own Muscle and Fitness and Flex, and he always liked the blonde hair, blue-eyed, all-American look.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting a deal with him, and then when I won the Mr. American, Mr. Universe, I got another contract through him. So, yeah, back then you could do fairly well as a professional bodybuilder. Yeah. Today it's not as it's gone a different direction, I
think. Sure, yeah. But again, I'm so impressed that I don't think many guys or girls in their early 20s are going to look at, you know, six-figure checks and do something smart with it like you did.
Right, yeah. No, and again, I owe a lot of that to my brother and my parents because, you know, I didn't come from anything. Both my parents were just school teachers, so it wasn't like we had a ton of money. Yeah. But I always knew that I needed to make my money work for myself because in any professional sport, your career is so limited and so short.
Did you recognize that while you were in it? Knew that you had a short duration?
Yeah, my whole goal was to never, of course I wanted to win the Mr. America, Mr. Universe, to use those titles to further myself into something. Yeah. But I never wanted to make bodybuilding my whole career and do the Olympia year after year. Because for me, being the best in the world, there wasn't enough money in it for me to sacrifice as much as that I had to do and put all my eggs in one basket. And I had to win to make it a decent amount of money. So I knew it was going to be short-lived, so I used those titles to my band each to pursue other things.
Yeah, yeah, so smart.
Yeah.
So prior to your brother sharing that with you, like while you were in high school, when did you start bodybuilding? High school then?
I did it for football, basically. Oh. I played football in high school, and I started lifting weights just to keep my weight, get a little bit bigger for that.
Yeah.
And some guys at the gym told me, hey, you ought to try a show. And, you know, I had no clue. I was 17 years old, and the Mr. Orange County was coming up, and I didn't know how to pose. I didn't know how to diet. And I was genetically pretty good, and I grew real fast. So I said, well, you know, what the heck? So talked to these bigger guys in the gym and said, what kind of poses do I have to do? Yeah. And I ended up getting second in the Teenage Mr. Orange County out of 45 people. So I was like, well, maybe I'm onto something here.
Yeah.
So, and I've always was fascinated with it as a kid, like when I'd see Arnold and Lou on Wide World of Sports. Back then they used to show it on Wide World of Sports, and I was like, man, it was amazing what those guys could look like.
Yeah.
So I was always fascinated with bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And but luckily I was able to do well with it.
Yeah. Any other than with your brother sharing with you, any like business training, like in high school or?
I did a little bit of business training in college, learned, but it's like anything, Bart, you can have the best degrees in the world, but if you're if you're not a go-getter and you're not relentless, they really don't do much good. Certainly they help you as you get into, but you got to have the drive. That's the number one thing.
Yeah. So let's kind of maybe go over your progression. So you're through your 20s. I know, again, you bought that property, which was a smart investment.
And yeah.
Is that what you made your ultimate house on, where you're at now?
Or no. I ended up buying that later. I built something in there, sold it, bought another house, sold that, made more money, bought a piece of property, and then I built the one I'm in now.
Okay.
Was kind of like my dream home.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little too big a house now. I don't really need it that big, but you know, you get carried away. Okay, I want this in here and this.
Yeah.
And what ended up being originally a 5,800 square foot house, it ended up being about 10,000. So, so it's a little too big.
Well, you were thinking about your future cars.
I needed places to put those for sure. Yeah.
So what was your next kind of big business move as you were slowing down in bodybuilding? You had your real estate. I know you have some like passive investments.
Yes.
Now
my main thing is Longevity Institutes. I do all the hormone replacement therapy, and I have four different locations there. That's my main business now.
Sure.
I knew hormone therapy was becoming big, especially growth hormone, and it's used for anti-aging purposes. And I knew being in Newport Beach that this was going to be something that people would want to do because it stops the aging process, basically. And so I ended up opening a clinic the year after I retired. I hired a physician to be my medical director. And it's just been 25 years later, it's done extremely well.
Yeah, I didn't realize you had it for that. I thought it was a more recent thing for you.
Yeah, it's been 25 years now.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I opened it in 94.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you must have been on the cutting edge.
Very
of the first,
there was
right?
nobody doing it in Orange County. There was one place in L.A. that was doing it, but they were not really doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
Now there's several of them now. Not a whole lot, but there is some in Orange County. But yeah, I've been doing it 25 years, so it's been a while. Wow. And I love it because it's something that I'm really into. I want to stay as young and as fit as much as I can. And and then I do all the lasers and stem cell and Botox and fillers and all the other stuff that comes along with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's actually an active business for you, because you show up every day and do stuff.
And then I have them in Dallas and in Miami, so I travel to those as well.
Right.
Yeah.
You've done some other, I know, like your car washes, that's something you did along
the
way
with
too?
My brother. My brother was involved in mini storages and things like that, so I learned a lot through him.
Yeah.
And he was the one, he was the brains. I was the brawn, he was the brains. But he always, you know, said, you know, your career's going to be short, so you got to use your money to make money for you.
Yeah.
And I always put that back in my mind. So I needed to do something. So I just would listen to him and say, okay, with this, what should I do with this money? Take it here. And I always made money from the investments.
Yeah.
And then I would just try, take that profit, invest it in something else.
Something new.
I never go spend it.
Okay.
Yeah. Until later on. Now I spend way too much of it.
So, I always got the impression that you were good at like kind of diversifying your cash flows.
Yeah. I like to do it. And now I got this wine business. So that's a whole different realm.
Well, we're going to talk about it. Don't worry. We're going to talk about it.
Okay, good.
Was there ever a, like a, I don't want to get that formal, but like a written plan or something where like, hey, okay, we're going to go from real estate and then we're going to go into the car washes and we're going to maybe do storage. Was there any of that ever like written out, or is it just these opportunities?
My brother had a lot of those. And so I just would follow his lead. The medical part was my idea because I was into that kind of field, so to speak, through my career. And I knew, I just knew it was going to be big. And especially when the FDA approved it for anti-aging purposes, I knew it would be big in Newport Beach and place like that where people care about what they look like and how they feel. So I started those, and being in the industry that I came from, I did a lot of charity work, charity events, softball tournaments. So I met a lot of celebrities at these events, and then I was under contract with Vince McMahon with the WWF. And so when I opened that, I had a lot of connections in the industry. So when I opened it, I had people coming to me right away. Not only that, but to pick my brain about nutrition, about training, that type of stuff, because they knew that was the background I was coming from.
Yeah. I mean, you probably get that every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. You're only good at what you know, right?
I mean, you must have some good stories of either through your bodybuilding career or
some good ones.
Anything or actually G-rated you could share?
Probably not.
I know Paul wants to know.
Come on.
Was, you know, it, you know, everybody says, you know, why don't you like to talk about bodybuilding? It's not that I don't like to talk about it. I'm just in a different feel now. I just, I think bodybuilding's got a bad name a lot of times because of the drug issue and, you know, how big and freaky these people are. Back in the 90s when we were competing, it wasn't like that. We were big, but we weren't freaky like these guys are today. These guys today look like cartoon characters. They're just, it's just gone to a different, different thing. And really, when I was winning, I would be considered a physique contest because they, you know, bodybuilding is so extreme. I wouldn't even be considered a bodybuilder. I'd be more of a physique competitor by today's standards. So it's gone a total different direction.
It looks like from the last that I saw and the last show that I went to that they're starting to try and re-encourage the kind of the old class. They have the classic.
I like the classic physique. Yes, I like that look much better. You know, it's more attainable, and the public sees it. More attainable, and it's more pleasing to look at. You know, even if they came to me today and said, hey, Troy, I can make you look like Mr. Olympia right now. We can create your body and you would win it. I wouldn't want to look like that. It's just too much.
Right.
There's a time where, I was big and freaky, but to the guys today, I'd be nothing. I mean, it's just a whole different world out there now.
I'm sure you've met during your career like Arnold and Lou and all those guys.
I still actually talk to Lou quite a bit. I actually sent him a case of my new wine. So he's a wine drinker. I wanted to get his opinion on it, and he actually really liked it. But you know, a lot of the guys I still like. I try to go to the Olympia every year in Vegas and see the people that I competed against for years. And it's Vegas, so I got to go there. But it's been a good run for sure.
How about Dorian Yates?
I competed against him in the one time over in England, but he wasn't like he was. You know, when I beat him that time, the following year he came back and it was like
he was on fire.
This guy, it was like Ronnie Coleman. Who was the 8-time Mr. Olympia. When I won the Nationals and Miss America, he was actually in the contest and he was like 15th. And I didn't even know who he was, and then he came back a year later and I was like, gee, who is this guy? And he, to me, he's probably the best ever. Just he was just in a whole nother class.
Have you seen Dorian recently?
He's lost a lot of weight. I mean, he bikes a lot now.
Yoga
does everything.
He looks good.
He looks really good and fit. He was definitely a freak. No question. He looked amazing.
I'm surprised. He looks actually like he can move and limber, which is surprising. Both of us have injuries we're dealing with.
Absolutely. And I think he's had his injuries. You know, he's from England, so he would go back to England and stay back there. I know he did a tortoise bicep a couple of times, but he was pretty incredible.
Okay, let's flip back to business for a bit. Is there any like guiding principles that you try to follow? If you're like, so if someone presents you something like, here's an investment opportunity. What are you kind of looking for?
Something that is cutting edge, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I always ask my financial advisor what he thinks about it. If there's ways to make money at it, I really like to know, Bart, what I'm investing in, mm-hmm. and I like to know about what I'm doing. I don't really invest in things that I don't know anything about. I don't trust somebody else's judgment. Say, oh, Troy, this is a great thing, mm-hmm. and yet I know nothing about the business. I rarely ever do that.
That's a Warren Buffett principle, by the way.
It is. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Yeah, no, I want to know about the business. Because you never know. You can invest money and lose a lot of money too by people just telling you how great it is. But I like to, I want to invest in something I know about and I feel good about. And then if it fails, then it's on me because I knew in going into it.
So I think we've hit about this. Everything you touch turns to gold. Have you ever, you don't have to say what it is, but have you ever had any stinkers?
Oh, of course. Yeah. There's been some times I invested in, the stock market and stuff. I invested a lot of money because somebody told me. And that's, again, I don't do the stock market. Now, if you told me, talked about a blackjack table, I could tell you everything about it. But stock market, I just don't do a lot of it. And some guy talked to me and invested in a lot of money in this one stock. And I trust his opinion. And I lost a lot. And that was the last time I ever did it because I really want to know what I'm investing in before I do it.
Yeah. All right. All right. So let's talk about the wine business from a guy who doesn't drink.
Exactly. Yeah. It's interesting, and again, it's something that is totally out of my realm of what I normally do. But my daughter, she came to me one time and she goes, I have this idea about this wine and, we call it Shardy Party. Like when our girls get together, all of her friends, they go, let's go have a Shardy Party. And it was other than just say, hey, we're going to have a party drinking Chardonnay basically. And I said, well, I kind of like that name. And, she goes, I think we should try to market and see what we could do with it. So I said, well, I'm not going to just give you the money. Yeah. So you bring up a business opportunity, you give me a package, you show me a proposal, how you plan to market it and how you're going to make it work, and I'll fund it. If it's something that I look at and I like, I'll fund it. So she brought it. She actually did her homework and really went out. And I was actually shocked because my daughter usually just says, Pops, I need money for this. And I just give it to her, but I wanted her to make her feel like it was her own type thing. I wanted her to work to have some value to other than me just handing her a check.
Yeah.
I was impressed that she really got it together and brought this to me. And I said, hey, I like this. I think we can do something with it.
Yeah.
Although I didn't know anything about wine. If you would ask me, Bart, the difference between that and drinking Boone's Farm, I couldn't have told you. I would have said, I don't know.
It's red. It's white.
Exactly. So my ability to talk about a good wine, I had no clue. But everybody that's tried it seems to really like it. It's price point at a good price. And it's been just doing crazy since, we just launched in February.
Yeah.
And it's really a credit to her because she's been out hustling, getting in places. And we're in like over 15 restaurants now. We landed some really big, huge grocery accounts. So it's definitely going in the right direction. And now we're looking at maybe do a red and maybe a Sauvignon Blanc or something like that down the line. So it's doing extremely well. So I'm quite surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do with your kids? Speaking of your kids, I mean, you obviously done very well for yourself. Are they sitting back and waiting for
probably
to come to them?
Yeah,
or are you teaching them principles?
Yeah. I the thing about my kids, I did spoil them, but I did make them, they all got college degrees. I said, look, I'm not going to just hand you money. I want you to have some value, just like my father did to me. He always helped me financially, but he made me work for it. Mm-hmm. So many people, I think they just are handed and because they expect it. And although, like I said, I spoiled my kids, but I made them go to college, get a degree. And if you're going to get something, you got to work for it. And I told her, just like with this wine thing, I said, I'll help you, but you got to work for it. Because I don't have time to take away from businesses that are making me money to put in this. So this is on you. And if you make it work, I'll invest the money in it. And she's done very well with it. And and a credit to her, she's been a hustler.
Yeah.
And it's doing really well.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. She's got a good role model.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. It's like anything, Bart. You know, if you want something bad enough, you find a way. If you don't, you find an excuse. And I tell that all the time.
That's a good
one.
You
know, it really is. If you want something, we live in America and you have so much opportunity here. You know, it's like bodybuilding. I wanted to win Mr. America. You know, there's one person that wins it. And everybody kept saying, Troy, you're not going to win it. It's one person. I go, that person's going to be me. Yeah. And I said, nobody's going to outwork me. There may be some of that are going to be genetically better, but yeah. I can guarantee you nobody will be in better shape and no one will outwork me. And that's why I won.
Yeah.
And so I'm just relentless at everything I do. I don't care if I, you know, I'm up at 4 o'clock every morning. As you know, I see you in the gym early in the morning, and I don't get home till usually 10 o'clock at night, but in 7 days a week. I mean, I'm grinding, trying to do something else. It's kind of in my blood, and I enjoy it. I love the thrill of the kill, I guess, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that reminds me. I asked you a couple months ago in the gym as part of our thing here, what keeps you up at night? Did you remember your answer?
Losing it all. Is one.
Okay, no, that's not what you gave me, but that's good. I want to play off that for a second, but it was more like, what's the next deal?
Yes.
What's my next
thing? Yes. And with the wine, that's part of it. Yeah. And I am. I'm always looking, okay, I want to be diversified in everything. I want my hand in everything I can get it on. But again, you know, all of it can be taken away from you too.
Yeah.
You
so you actually, with where you are at in life, that's something that Absolutely. You do think about for real?
Yeah, because you can have, I risk a lot to make that thing, next deal happen. I'll take risks.
Yeah.
I think, and one good piece of advice is if you don't take risks, you're never going to have anything. If you just sit on the bench and don't get in the game, you're never going to win. You're going to be a spectator the whole time.
Yeah.
And so for me, if you're just one of those guys that doesn't like to take chances or take risks, you're never going to achieve it, because I'd rather live my life like this, up and down, than just live like this. Yeah. You know, some guys are just content saying, hey, you know, I make a certain amount of money, it pays my bills, I come home at 5 o'clock, I watch my kids play football, I drink a beer and watch TV.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one of those guys. I always want something more.
But we need them.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
My youngest brother, he's just a guy that is a lot different than me and my older brother.
Yeah.
He does well, but he's happy. You know, he coaches, plays football with his friends, plays softball.
Yeah.
He he's happy. He knows where his bills are all going to be paid at lunch. He works enough just to get where he needs to go. He works very hard. He's in the construction business with my other brother, but he just doesn't care to have more, and that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Some people are just programmed that way, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the, let me show you enough time here. So with your current business, the Longevity Center, that's not what it's called. What is it, the name of it?
Youth Tech Medical.
Youth Tech Medical.
Yeah.
Average person comes in is looking for what?
Well, really both things. Cause I got, you know, somebody that's just looking for Botox and fillers. You know, I got that client that comes in or looking for laser. Hey, I got some wrinkles on my face. I want to do laser, and that type of stuff. And then I got the hormone person that's generally in their early 30s to mid 30s and then higher because as we age, we start losing hormones. And I don't care how hard you diet or how hard you work out. If you're low in hormones, you're going to see very minimal results, because that's what makes the muscle respond. And I tell people that you really need to increase your testosterone levels, especially if they're low.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff you're doing in the gym, you could get so much more gains, because every organ that we have is a muscle. And that's why as we age, we get age-related diseases like osteoporosis, arthritis, we have heart attacks. That's because they're all muscle, and when you don't have testosterone, that's what keeps the muscles vibrant and healthy. So when they're less, they shrink. And as we age, all of our organs shrink because we're not replacing the hormones like they were when they were in our 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very key to anybody for just health and longevity that you need to replace their hormones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Referring to the human growth hormone as well?
Yes, absolutely. The human growth hormone to me is the best, because there's no side effects. It's very safe on the body because, again, we're not putting anything in you that you don't already have. We're just replacing what you're losing as you're getting older. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps like your skin better, your hair. You know, I've seen a lot of guys that were gray, started using the growth hormone, and their hair color came back.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty. Mm-hmm. And I noticed, especially in my older clients, they just have more energy. They recover better. They feel better. It's remarkable to me.
Any truth of it actually helping injuries?
100%. Yes, because it rejuvenates tissue and especially if you've like had shoulder surgery or tore your ACL or something like that, it speeds up the recovery so much faster. Yeah, it really is. It works well.
You mentioned stem cell earlier too. Is that for rejuvenation?
I do it for face. We do it in the face for restoring collagen, getting rid of wrinkles. We mix it and we use what we call a micro needling pin. It's actually a pin that has like 40 little needles on it, and the nurse just drives the stem cell underneath your skin.
Yeah,
and it really does. It gets rid of wrinkles, just kind of smooths out your face, shrinks your pores, that kind of stuff.
I know Paul has an appointment next week.
Yeah, I've been trying to get him in.
So you've hit on a good one. I'll see if you have one left because we're getting close to the end. So I always like to ask my guests, what's your ultimate lesson learned? You gave me one about the risk, but is there anything else that you...
Just go after your dreams and be relentless. I always go back. You know, my father was a hard worker. He was a school teacher, but he would always go extra. Like he would teach summer school instead, and then he would teach ROP classes because he always wanted more money. And then then he would do, he was a builder, and so he would build homes in the summer for people. He was a nonstop work. He just worked hard his whole life, and he always told me as a little kid, Troy, you can be anything you want if you're willing to work for it. Nothing is going to be handed to you. And I've always took that just in bodybuilding and work that, you know, I think my strength, but also my weakness is that I'm never satisfied. I would really like to wake up one day and just say, you know what, I have enough.
Yeah.
I don't need any more.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll ever come because I remember when I made my first million, I thought, God, I'll switch back. But I remember when I was 24 years old, and this is going back, 30 years ago, I got a contract for $200,000 a year. And I mean, that's a lot of money for a 23-year-old today. But going back then,
that's
like a million today.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad were just like, they couldn't believe it. Like, you lift weights and you're making that much money. I'm a college educator. I got my master's degree, and I don't even come close to that in a year.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, I guess I really, but you don't. And I made that, and then I just kept making more and more. And I don't know if I'm ever content.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope there comes a time where I just, I'm in my mid to late 50s now, and it's like, I want, if there's going to be a time where I can just want to sit down and relax and enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I just, right now I'm not. And the thing about it is, Bart, you got to enjoy what you're doing too. I'm
That's
not going
so
to a
key.
Job where I'm going, I got to get up and do this
so
again.
Different.
I love what I do. I talk to wealthy people that I learn a lot from.
Yeah.
There's a lot of actors and actresses that I deal with. And so the celebrity part of it, I just enjoy talking to people.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm out digging ditches, job is more mental and hustling rather than physical.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I wonder, other than maybe playing blackjack, if you didn't have a place to go, what would you do all day?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, going to Vegas with my buddies and playing blackjack, that's like my high.
Yeah.
It's like my, because I don't drink, I've never done a drug, I don't do anything.
Yeah.
That is like, that's what my rush is. I just love that thrill of seeing if I can beat the odds. Never usually happens, but I do like the rush.
Yeah, I actually was. You ever do anything that doesn't make money? Troy goes, gamble.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst. I'd be so rich, but I didn't gamble. That's the truth, because that's my vice. And I wish I didn't have that vice, because it can kill you.
All right, Troy, this has been a lot of fun.
It really has
appreciate
been.
You taking the time.
I appreciate you
how can
me.
How can anyone meet you at work?
I'm locally right by the airport, Newport Beach. It's Youth Tech Medical, area code 949-253-2999.
Awesome.
And call and get an appointment if you want to come in. I'd be glad to talk to you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Troy, thanks again.
Pleasure.
Thanks, everyone who tuned into the show. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.